This is CliffCentral.com.
Sierra with Dance Like We're Making Love. You know, she was my girlfriend for a while.
She was. She came to the country. You invited her to join you on Idols, and she did.
Oh, yeah. She sat right next to me.
She sat right next to you.
She sidled up next to me. She pushed a chair right up against mine. I think it was 10 more minutes of sitting there with her, and she would have had her hand on my leg.
Oh, my. Look at you working Steady your job.
Bill O'Reilly. Jesus.
Oh, Sierra. Oh, Sierra.
But she's gorgeous.
Oh, she is. She's stunning.
Hasn't she just had a kid recently? She's
mother of two now.
Yeah.
But I mean, she still looks better than us.
Okay, let's meet these two ladies who I met the other day, and I thought you need to meet them too. Nonhlanhla Dlamini and Sindiswa Kaula. It's very nice to have both of you here. How are you, ladies? Are you having a good morning so far?
Yes, we are.
Did you get stuck in traffic, or are you okay?
Well, we had the opportunity of being driven by or led by taxi drivers, so
okay,
we're okay.
No, you're all right. You made it. All right. So you don't need the headphones. You don't have to worry about that. No, we're just going to talk. So you've got this foundation. You basically started a business. It is a business.
Yes.
You're there to do amazing things. But, you know, this is the world of social entrepreneurship. Okay. So it kind of is half a business but half a foundation.
Correct.
And I wanted you to explain what you explained to me when I saw you the other day, what it is exactly that the Unomkhubulwane Foundation or Unearthed Project is all about.
We are an organization for women, by women. What we basically want to do is to be big sisters to girls.
Where does the problem start, though? Because there's obviously a need in society in South Africa. So can you maybe start with just explaining why you decided to focus on young girls and why you decided they needed big sisters?
I think it's for us, it's how we grew up. We could go to a neighbor if there's a problem. We could speak to aunts if there's a problem. But now, because of how the society has changed, you'll find little girls do not have people they talk to. And they're exposed to a lot of things that we were not exposed to. So the idea behind it was, girls are, there's social media, which we didn't have it when, I'm not very old, but I'm not too young as well. We did not have social media. Now we want to be those people that the girls speak to, because now parents are not available because they're working.
Yeah, and society's become complicated because there are a lot of men who prey on these girls.
Correct.
There are a lot of things in social media that make it very difficult. It was always difficult for young women, because women, it's a different world if you grow up as a girl to if you grow up as a guy. Guys are not as afraid of the world because there aren't men they have to worry about.
Yes.
And I'm not saying this is not a man bashing session by any means, but we have a problem in this country. We know how men treat women. We know that there is a major mental problem when it comes to the way that men think about women in South Africa. And it's across all races, all ages. It's just something that we've got to deal with. And at least you're doing this little bit, but it's part of trying to solve a much, much bigger problem, right?
Correct.
So we've got female role models, because men don't even have male role models, so that's a massive problem. But we have less and less places where these young girls can interact with older women, because those older women are working so goddamn hard that they're not around. And so who do you talk to? You go on social media, you end up on Facebook or Instagram, or even worse places where everybody's telling you how great their lives are and you feel like a loser. We didn't have to deal with this when we were kids.
No, we didn't. And it's unfortunate that we have little girls growing at this rate. It's so quick, and it's shocking the things that they know. That when I look at myself at that age, I really had nothing. I knew nothing.
Yeah, we're kind of
as
innocent
compared to what they are dealing with. It's amazing.
So tell me tell me some of the stories that you've encountered and where you felt that you could make a difference. Because, you know, those are the things that I think most people will relate to. Is they'll go, oh my God, I didn't know that was happening. Or I know someone who's going through that.
Okay. One of the things that we did, we've adopted two schools in our local area.
Where's your area?
In Wadville. That's okay. In Benoni. And it's two high schools. And yes, both schools have ELO as a subject. And that's life orientation. Right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now, we were dealing with their HODs and who were teachers as well, mm-hmm. of the subject. And with what they do, they need to focus on the curriculum, not what happens after school to those kids or before school. Now, when we got there and we offered these services to them, to be the big sisters with the aftercares and whatnot, it was shocking. And they revealed to us that they had staircases at school that were not used. And for whatever reason, maybe they were not safe or the building was
So you mean it was like dangerous to be there?
On those staircases. So they closed those staircases.
Yeah.
Now the kids saw the opportunities to have some fornication done on those staircases.
Oh my God.
So the teachers can't deal with that because they have a curriculum to stick to. And they don't know who to talk to with such. Because they are not exposed to either your social workers or any professionals that they can be on call to deal with those. And in another instance, there was a girl who had just witnessed her father being shot dead at home and had to go back to school the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers didn't give her any counseling or send her through to that. But there was a lady who was there to collect a register from cancer awareness,
mm-hmm.
that they had done with the school. And it just in passing, oh, by the way, there's this Nontlantla here. Can you please take her with? She just had a crisis at home, witnessed this and that. I mean, there's no privacy
cancer,
in that.
But I mean, so, yes. So they just saw an opportunity to palm her off on somebody.
Yes.
Because they don't know where to send these people to.
What is going on here? I mean, we've got, like, everybody talks and we joke about, like, the president saying that the moral compass has shifted and that we don't have anyone we can rely on in society. I mean, is this the breakdown of the family? Because these are real fundamental problems across South African cultures.
I think it's a combination of different things. Because families, you'll find that there's child-headed households.
Mm.
If you are a child yourself and you're supposed to be taking care of your younger siblings, whom are you looking up to?
Mm.
We have uncles who are no longer uncles. We have neighbors who now care for themselves and no longer care about each other. So there's different things. Now you find even teachers, the quality of teachers now and the quality of teachers when I was still at school, it's different.
I suppose also, you know, a lot of teachers then, they were there to teach. They
yes.
weren't there to be counselors and
yes.
mothers and
yes.
surrogate parents.
Yes.
And
yes.
Now they're required to be all of those things. So some teachers take to it and want to be helpful, but others are like, whoa, 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 this is not my job.
Exactly. Mm. So there's a number of issues that make us to be where we are today. We can't blame one person or we can't blame one institution. It's just a lot of issues that just brings us to teenagers or young girls who cannot go to anyone because now they do not trust anyone.
Sindiswa and Nontlantla, when do you even sit down and begin something like this? How do you start to make a difference? Because it almost seems like it's an impossible task.
It is, one by one. That's why we thought of adopting schools in our community. We have a total of 1,200 girls because our focus is on girls between the two schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories you hear, it's tough stories. We also have to come back, debrief, cry ourselves out because there's now space where they trust somebody. So we're not saying it's easy, but we're saying let's listen. Let's try and see what we can do. If we can't do it, then we can be able to connect them with people who can be able to assist them.
So in other words, you start off by providing these people with someone to talk to.
Yes.
And that can be emotionally draining for you.
Yes, it is.
Because, I mean, who do you go and unload on then? Because if you're hearing these horrible stories day
mm-hmm.
after day
mm-hmm.
and hearing about these dire, dire circumstances that some people are living in,
mm-hmm.
it must take its toll on you.
It does.
It does. I mean, I remember we were on the couch and one lady, she just right out. We were not ready for those stories. I mean, we were forming a committee of, I mean, we can't do it just the two of us alone. Mm. We were talking with other ladies who would assist, and she just blurted it out that she just had a dark past. I couldn't hold
a what?
It. A dark past.
A dark past.
Yeah, she was raped.
Molested.
So whilst we were explaining what Unomkhubulwane is and where we want her to be involved in, she just said, I'm glad that you ladies are starting this. When I was young, I was raped. And now they think that's why I'm lesbian. We were shocked, but those are the type of stories that we hear. So we need to be able to pull ourselves towards ourselves because now we had to listen to her. And afterwards, we just cried. Because if a member of our team experienced whatever that she has experienced, and how many stories are we going to hear from the girls? Because she didn't have to tell us the story, but she did.
You know, a lot of people try to avoid this stuff. They avoid talking about it.
Yes.
The reason I wanted to have you in here is because you're making people open up about things, because that's the only healthy way to sort the problem out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for you to get these people to trust you sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Some of these girls must be so traumatized by their past, by their background, by their family situation, that they don't want to open up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them to trust you?
Well, from one girl to another, I mean, they open up gradually. It's not as every day we will hear a new story. Some of them will see how their friend is being relieved from whatever it is. I mean, if we can access professionals to us to sort whatever it is, the problem that she's facing that we can't deal with, then they gradually come to, and we take it from there. But it's not always as free, because you can find others that are bullies, but you know there's a story behind their bullying. And they don't want to give in, because then they would lose their power over the other girls. But again, then we deal with them privately, because they want to be dealt with privately. They don't want to be exposed that because of my bullying ways, this is what I'm going through at home, or whatever it is, the situation that they're dealing with currently.
So you're sort of a new kind of social worker.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't sound glamorous, but it's important. And as a business, do you have any people who are supporting you, who are funding you? Because it costs you money to drive there. It costs you money to help some of these girls. There might be financial implications that you need to be pulled into. So do you have people who are supporting you?
Not currently. No. Nothing.
You see, that really irritates me, because I hear about, like, Brian Molefe's 30 million rand from running Eskom badly. And I hear about Hladi Motsoeneng being paid his 20 million rand for ruining the SABC. And I think there are so many ways that money could be spent better. Mm-hmm. And just sending a fraction of it to you guys would make a huge difference in society. Doesn't that drive you mad?
It does. It does. But what else can we do? I mean, these people need help. This has to be an awareness of some sort to somebody who's listening and hopefully can actually do something about it. I mean, if it was for our own benefit, I mean, we would have stayed in our 9-to-5s and done that.
What did you do before?
I am an employee of the Human Settlements.
Ministry?
Okay. Yes, the Human Settlements in Gauteng. The Gauteng, yes, Human Settlements. And Cindy Swa has...
I run my own business, Ikowe HR Solutions.
Okay.
And I've just started as an administrator at SASCE, which is Southern African Association for Cooperative Education.
All right. Very good. So both of you are involved in a number of things. It's not just one thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find the time for all this stuff?
We
in
don't.
The 24 hours of the day.
You just don't sleep.
Yeah. We don't. Even when we're sleeping, I know we actually text each other at 3 o'clock the moment the other one is up.
Yeah. We're like, the other are you one awake? And
how did you find each other?
Wow. well, we were headhunted for something totally different. We are both ANC members.
Uh-huh.
So a guy approached us and said we need to form a local economic development
committee.
We were subcommitting to the committee.
Right.
So that's how we met each other. And other than that, we were chilling in the couch and we started talking. And like, you know what I'd like to do? You know these girls? Wow. Is that right? So you, I also have that dream.
This is pretty impressive because, I mean, a lot of people get together for various job reasons, but they never really pursue their ambitions in terms of changing the world. And it seems always that these things are too difficult to achieve. Hmm. I thought when I read about what you're doing that these are precisely the things government should be involved in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, have you approached them? And also, I mean, if you know people in the ANC, aren't there people there who would be willing to help you?
We have approached the ANC Women's League, and we are in talks with them. Nothing has been finalized as yet, but our initial meeting, they seem to be impressed by what we're doing.
Right.
And they said they'll speak to whoever that they wanted to speak to, then they'll come back to us. So we are waiting.
Well, listen, if we can help you, if we can help you to tell some of the stories, then you know you can come and knock on our door. It's a pleasure to have you both here this morning, and it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Nonsansla and Cindy Swa. And they are, I can call you activists stroke different kinds of social workers.
Of course you can.
Yeah. And by the way, neither of you did any social work as a kind of qualification, did you?
Not at all.
No, I did social sciences, which is something totally different.
But you just have to care about people.
Yes, true.
And that's much harder to find than someone who's qualified in something.
No, correct. Yeah.
Well done to you. I think it's great that you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
All right, ladies, and all the best to you. Power to you. And I hope that you come back with plenty of success stories. I know that you're making a difference little bit by little bit. We need more people like you doing that.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Very good. How, Mavs, isn't that impressive?
Yeah, definitely. You know, again, when you speak about people who are out there on a day-to-day basis trying to make a difference, this is exactly what we're referring to. So, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down, down, down. Have we played two Sia songs this morning? Is
yes.
it possible? Oh, shit.
Yes,
okay,
have.
I'm getting carried away. Sorry.
Ah.
I shouldn't have done that.
What's the worst that could happen?
No, it's not the worst. I'm very happy about that. Sia's cool. I like her. Everybody thinks she's cool, right? She's the flavor of the year.
So do we all know who the most beautiful woman in the world is? People magazine. Because you know every year they do this.
I would say... Margot Robbie has got to be up there, right? I mean, she's like the it girl at the moment. Would you agree?
Yeah, because she's done like big movies.
But then is it always a movie star? Because sometimes it's a model, sometimes it's an actress, sometimes it's a sports person.
Well, this year it's a movie star.
It is?
And apparently it's a record fifth time that she has been named the most beautiful woman in the world.
Well, Meryl Streep, obviously.
Not quite, Ben. But close.
Most beautiful woman in the world. Come on, we've got to be able to do
five
this.
Five times. That should give it away.
Please don't say it's Angelina Jolie again.
No.
Is it her?
No.
This should really be easy. Five times.
It's just the way you said Angelina Jolie. All right, are you sick of her?
Is it Serena?
Mm-mm.
Is it... It's not Julia Roberts, is it? she was on that yacht with Oprah. That might have got her some points. Who could it be?
49-year-old.
Jennifer Lopez.
Julia Roberts.
It's no, Julia Roberts.
No way.
Was named People Magazine's World's Most Beautiful Woman for a record fifth time.
Beautiful That's- woman with underarm hair and was in movies of Richard Gere? I mean, there must be a subcategory that she won here.
But the actress said she thought her best years were yet to come.
Well, look, good for her. I think that's true, right?
I mean, I take this thing seriously, Gareth. I disagree.
Yeah, but Ben, you need to remember that, you know, your idea of beautiful is different to mine, to Gareth's.
You're telling me
to the next
you
person.
You can go out today, Mubs, and chat to 100 men. Not one of them will tell you Julie Roberts is
I don't
in the
have
top
the time
10.
To go and...
That's why I'm speculating on your behalf.
Hang on. Try it. She's a beautiful woman. Don't take that away from her. And she is beautiful. And I do believe that a woman at 49 years old can be as attractive as a woman in her 20s. In fact, they can be even more attractive.
Yes, but
you are lying and you
Ben,
know.
Ben is true. Ben is ageist when it comes to this regard. Ben does not think that women aging are ever beautiful, ever.
Hang on a second. Aging screws all of us, right? I'm not saying it's like, oh, a woman, look at that woman, she's old. I never say that. Gareth, you are lying because you don't find that attractive. And now I'm being thrown on the
Don't you dare drag me into this. This is your thing.
You are the liar. You have publicly admitted on this platform that you find nothing attractive about an older woman. You have said it before.
How are you?
We all look better when we're younger. Why am I the one with the voice of reason here while you're all trying to be so PC?
I mean, Jennifer Lopez, for crying out loud.
Looks better when she was 30.
Mm-hmm.
She looks better now than when she was 30.
Jennifer Lopez looks better now.
She looks better now without a doubt than when she was 30.
And people are going to say,
plastic surgery and.
So what?
At the end of the day, she looks fantastic.
Okay, look, there's another sub-argument here, right? Like, if you were beautiful in the 80s, you would look average today, right?
Whoa.
So, like, genres don't help.
Julia Roberts was hotter when she was 30. Fine. But Julia Roberts is still an attractive woman, so it's not like she shouldn't be on the list. What I'm concerned about is that we haven't had anyone hotter since Julia Roberts came on the scene. Are you telling me that now there's no one else to compete with her? Come on.
Whose
list is this?
People magazine. And they do it every
year.
They do it every year. And then they also have the man version, right? Where they name the sexiest man. No, I don't have that name. I mean,
Brad Pitt.
Michael Moore.
I mean, Johnny Depp was named once as the sexiest man alive. Give me a break.
Shocking.
Anyway, yes, Julia Roberts.
All right.
Yay.
Has she got a big movie coming up?
Not that I'm aware of, Ben. Are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that this is politically motivated?
Bell Pottinger'd the hell out all over it.
Do you think Julia Roberts is attractive, Lucas? You're sometimes a voice of reason in these kinds of things. We could do better,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we could do better. Hey, there's a whole lot of hot ladies there in Hollywood, I think.
And the Asians, where are the Asians?
Yeah, where are the
Asians?
When
last did we ever have an Asian win this?
Yeah.
Bloody bigots.
Why no Jennifer Su?
That's good.
Why do winners come from Hollywood?
Yeah, exactly.
Lucas.
They could quite easily come from somewhere else.
Because Hollywood is the standard of what beautiful is. They set the standard.
You know, in South Africa, like, we only prefer yellow bones. You know, if you talk about beauty.
Clearly, you've revealed what you prefer. Now we know what you like.
Yeah, yellow bone was trending some other day on Twitter.
Oh, by the way, I found out what that trending thing was.
Oh, okay.
From earlier, someone sent me something to clear it up. Apparently, the story was that there's a mystic called Horacio Villegas who claims that World War III is imminent and predicts the death of President Assad next month.
Ooh.
So there's a big story about accredited astrologer, as if there's such a thing.
Accredited.
Yeah, he's an astrologer called Osho Siddharth Aula. He's predicted World War III, and he says it's going to happen between 13 May and 13 October 2017. And he says, let us all pray for world peace.
What a joke.
That's like less than a month away. Damn it.
One of those stories when people said in the year 2000, the new millennial, the world was coming to an end,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that didn't happen.
Listen, these people need their heads read. If you believe some stupid astrologer, you deserve it. But if it is true, I'm just covering my bases here. I'm hedging my bets. If it is true, I still have a lot to do before May 2017 commences. I don't want World War III. Anybody want this to happen?
Also, how's it really going to affect us? We're so far down south.
Are you kidding? If nuclear war breaks out, come on, Ben. We'll have to deal with it just like everyone else. So he says between 13 May and 13 October. He's giving himself quite a window.
Mm.
13 May. All right, so we've still got 13 good days of May plus another 10 of this month. We got about a month.
Well, that's my concern. That doesn't give me much time to prepare.
What are you going to prepare? Are you going to stock up on canned goods?
I don't know. What are you meant to prepare for should a war be imminent? What are you supposed to do?
Well, I'd say just go for the weapons.
I'll just do research on how to survive a nuclear bomb.
I don't think you, unless you have your own bunker, I don't think you're going to make it.
But will we get affected even though it's not in Africa?
Yeah. If there's a nuclear war, there'll be fallout all over the world. I mean, it obviously depends on how big the war is, but if it starts in Syria, yes, it's slightly closer to us than Russia or America. And in the Cold War, we were just as worried as everybody else. Plus, you know what it'll do to the world's economy?
Yeah, it will crumble.
I mean, we'll all be screwed. Forget about the actual physical danger that we'd be in from the nuclear fallout. We'd have other kinds of danger. We'd have refugees. If we were safe, do you know how many people from all over the rest of the world would come here? Be overrun by Europeans running for cover. No, it's a problem. We don't want this. In any case, he's an astrologer, so just ignore it. Throw it away.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, if come 13 May, this turns out to be true, it's going to be very sad, because he's not going to be around to say to us, ha, told you so. Yeah. Well, we're all going to be dead.
If he gets this right. I mean, he predicted that Assad would die in the next month.
Mm.
So if something happens to President Assad, then we need to be on alert.
Yeah.
If nothing happens to Assad, we're okay.
Okay.
Yeah, deal. Danielle has just sent me these beautiful pictures. Very, very attractive. She says, I don't agree with these most beautiful in the world bullshit things. It's because they're in the spotlight. Oh, it's Clint. He sent me those pictures. He sent me a picture of some girl from Dubai.
That's right.
Yeah, and she's just very hot, but nobody knows she exists. Her name is Danielle. She's got like 8,000 followers, and she's gorgeous.
But you see, the problem is, as soon as you start having a conversation with people about who is beautiful, now we all come from different tastes and preferences of what we think is beautiful. That's another thing.
But who gets to decide that somebody is the most beautiful lady in the world?
People magazine.
Well, People magazine said a lot of things. Halle Berry and Jennifer Lopez are beautiful, says somebody on WhatsApp. And then somebody said, I agree with Ben. Julia Roberts looks like a dehydrated horse.
Let it be known, I did not say dehydrated horse. My sentiments were in the area, but were not in that paddock.
Wow, dehydrated horse.
That is
if you just joined us right now, I didn't say that.
That is a terrible thing to say.
Dehydrated horse.
Yo.
Yeah, that's a pretty horrible thing to say to someone. Dehydrated horse. And some people who are fans of Julia Roberts saying, yes, she should be the most beautiful woman in the world.
You see, it's a preference.
There are some, Ben.
Guys,
there's obviously no... you could say the most beautiful woman in the world is Caitlyn Jenner. And someone will go, oh, people, that is such a progressive step. Well done. Other people are going, yeah, no. You'll fight it all day. Julia Roberts is a woman, right? We can all work that one out. We'll agree on that.
Yes.
So is Caitlyn Jenner, Ben. How
so is Caitlyn Jenner.
Exactly. There we go. That's my point. These are the things we can agree on. Otherwise, it's just open warfare. Forget about Assad. World War III will come on the back of Julia Roberts being awarded this.
Yeah, people would probably get more upset about that than they would about Syria.
But I guarantee you, today you'll see five women more beautiful than Julia Roberts. Easily.
This is true.
And I'm not saying it to be horrible, but that's why these things are nothing more than...
So maybe famous people just get more attention than they deserve.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But we're partly to blame for that.
What else is in the news before we wrap it up for this morning? We've got to get to the un-news in a moment or two. And because of justice, we didn't really have a time for headlines. So, Mubs, what do you got for us?
So we are going to be approaching winter, which means potential flu and cold season, right?
Uh-oh.
Do you have a favorite go-to remedy that you use when you get sick?
No, and I don't believe in these ridiculous flu vaccinations. They don't work.
Well, Gareth, that's fine, but...
you got some solution for me?
Do I have a solution for you? Well, I don't have a solution for you. Scientists have proposed a new solution for you, Gareth, for all of us.
All right.
Frog mucus.
That's what I knew I was missing. Frog mucus?
A frog in South India excretes a mucus from its skin that could one day help people fight off certain types of flu viruses.
Really?
The colorful...
I have to kiss a frog? Is this like a fairy tale story? Isn't the frog meant to turn into a prince?
Not for you, Gareth. Maybe for me, but not for you.
Gee.
It sounds like a Disney story.
The colorful tennis ball-sized frog is known as Hydro... not going to say it. Different frogs.
Hydro.
No, I'm not going to say it. I changed my mind halfway through it.
All right.
Different frogs make different peptides depending on whether on where their habitat is.
Can't we make these in a lab? I don't want to get this from a frog.
Look, I mean, if they, it sounds to me like they're going after the peptide that is contained in this frog's mucus.
Ugh.
If they find a way to put it in a pill or in a vaccine for you and inject it with you, will you be okay with that?
I don't want to taste frog mucus, if that's okay with you.
I don't think they're planning on administering it to you in a cough syrup form.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine having to swallow like a spoon of frog mucus? Like, this will definitely keep you sick. I'll take my chances with the flu, thank you.
And who was the first person to come across this? Who's licking frogs and going, oh, didn't get cold at this season? Yeah. Must have been that frog I was licking for 6 months.
Takes 2 spoons of frog.
Oh, my gosh.
Call me in the morning.
Oh, can you imagine being the advertising agency that is tasked with coming up with an ad for that?
Try frog mucus for all your problems. You'll wake up in the morning feeling great every day. Just 2 spoons of frog mucus.
The frog in the background.
Yeah, you need to have the frog croaking in the background. It's disgusting.
I really hope that they don't get their frogs mixed up, because don't some frogs excrete poison through their
skin?
Yeah,
well, you get those poison arrow frogs that they use in the Amazon. They put the, they rub the arrow tip on the back of these frogs, and then it's a deadly, deadly, deadly poison. It could basically graze you and you will die. Hectic.
Yes. So a bit of frog mucus for your next cold or flu remedy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mubs. What a wonderful. I so feel like breakfast now. Don't you? Breakfast drizzled in frog mucus salad dressing. All right, everybody. Let's wrap it up for today. I know that the Unview is coming up next, and they better have a show lined up for you. Been tweeting up the storm. But it looks like Nathan Rowe is handling things here. So I'm not sure whether it's Alan and Nathan or if it's just Nathan. Nathan Rowe, you want to tell me what's going on? Is it you or is it Alan or is it both of you? What's the story here? Let me just quickly check with you. And go to the outside microphone.
Or has Alan shapeshifted into someone else?
Maybe.
Oh, that's
hey, dude.
Am I there?
Yeah, you're on.
Alan is away in Durban.
I love the way he's just handed this to you, like it's your problem now.
I know. Well, actually, he handed it to Maddie.
Okay, yeah.
Who's behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey, Matt Coonan,
a whole bunch of these children that I think Maddie is getting to work for free.
Oh, you've got basically child labor. Yeah. Very good. I've always approved of child labor. Yeah. I'm glad someone's finally doing it.
I think
it's
good as well.
Time.
You don't want to be like those 40-year-old kids, you know, still living at home.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to find jobs as a child. Although slavery is always better than being.
These are theater kids, so they could still be living at home in 30 years' time.
That's true. They will be.
Chances are they will.
Yeah.
Better you tell them now that they are wasting their time.
Well, the one girl's so happy. I don't think I could do that.
Nathan.
Bring them in. All right, so we're going to talk to them. Are they in some kind of performance at the moment? Are they doing something now?
Yes.
Is a show, production going on?
They're in 2 shows, one in the Heights.
Talk into the microphone. Yeah. Were you an idiot?
Labor. One is in the Heights at Hyde Park High. And you've heard of Hamilton, right? Alexander Hamilton.
No, I heard that is the number one musical on Broadway, but Do you think you could put Mike Pence thrown out of it? Yeah, you could put a gun to my head and I wouldn't go.
So that was his first show. And then the other one is good old Hairspray. You know.
Oh, we know that one.
Yeah. So we'll get them to sing a little ditty or two.
Okay, very nice. All right, Matt. Nathan, you look thrilled.
I'm very excited. You know. I just, you know, it's, you know when.
All right, get out of here. Go and get
I'm
your
leaving.
Show on.
I'm already out.
What the hell? All right. Let's wrap it up with the un-news. Here's what you need to know this morning. Johnny Depp's ex-wife, Amber Heard, looks set to want to settle down with Elon Musk. Yeah, from a man who dresses up like a pirate to another one who thinks he can colonize space, she clearly likes her men who live in their own realities. Victoria Beckham has just received an OBE at Buckingham Palace for her contribution to fashion. When the royal family was asked why they didn't give her the accolade for her contribution to music, the official response was, giving her an OBE for music would be like giving Nigel Farage the award for diplomacy. And finally, Serena Williams has announced she's pregnant, meaning that she'll be out of action for the rest of the season. Maria Sharapova is thrilled about this, as that means that she has a better chance of winning more Grand Slams. Only problem is, she still has to try and qualify for the events after being banned for being a doping strumpet. Ben wrote that last story. All right, we will see you tomorrow. Yeah, it's Friday tomorrow. Get ready, the weekend is just a moment away. All the times that
you ain't on my... This is CliffCentral.com.